We're only four games in, but it seems like the Colts' young season is already spiraling out of control. We'll get to that and much more on today's episode of Locked On Colts. Let's get to it.
You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and making us your number one listen of the day. This is your daily podcast covering your Indianapolis Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. This episode is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projections, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match, up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. Thanks again, everybody. This is Jake Arthur, joined by the crestfallen Zach Hicks. In rough shape today. Yeah. You know, the two of us from horseshoehuddle.com, of course. Today, we want to talk Colts Titans. What happened, why, and what happened?
Okay, do we want to talk Colts Titans, or do we have to talk Colts Titans?
Today, we have to talk Colts Titans. No, so the Colts, another home game, another AFC South matchup. They lose 24-17 to the Tennessee Titans at home here in Lucas Oil Stadium. They now fall to – oh, sorry, we got a phone call here. Don't worry. That's just going to go on the sideline. Anyways, again, that's showbiz, baby, like we like to say.
Showbiz.
They're now 1-2-1, including 0-2-1 in the AFC South, and that's just not. Yeah, I don't feel like I'm allowed to answer that. That's obviously not a position they want to be in this early. It would have been good to win some of these games, having so many front loaded in the schedule, but they are just not doing well.
Disaster.
So yeah, they had some good news today. They got Shaquille Leonard back briefly. He made his season debut, had a big collision with Zaire Franklin in the first half. He left, is now in the concussion protocol. That's not great. Jonathan Taylor looks like he banged up his ankle late in the game. He didn't come back. The two of them now, their next game is Thursday, so you might be without both of them. So, Zach, another stinker. What do you think?
I think stinker is the best way to describe it. I mean, it was just another extremely slow start for this team where they came out. I mean, in the first half, I mean, the first quarter especially, they looked like they didn't belong on the field with the Tennessee Titans. I mean, they looked like two teams playing completely different sports. The comparison I made is it looked like an SEC team playing an FCS squad out there. Like, it really just it looked like the Titans were just like getting their get right game against the Colts. And honestly, the Colts are lucky that the Titans are such an atrocious second half team this year that they were able to kind of make this score look a little closer. But yeah, man, this Colts team, they went back to looking how they did in week two against the Jaguars in another huge divisional game, one being at home. And I don't really know what to say about this Colts team at this point, because like they're just really bad. Like, they're really bad. I mean, outside, I think the defense is fine. Like, the defense is all right. Like, it's not great, but it's a solid defense. But this offense is so awful. And they're not just awful, like, they can't move the ball. Like, they move the ball fine. It's just so many turnovers. There are so many turnovers. I pulled this stat today just to kind of show what I'm talking about with the defense and the offense. Is the Colts defense this year has faced 14 total drives where the Colts offense has either gone four and out, like, you know, turnover on downs, or actually had a turnover, right? Which, by the way, before I even get to the stat, that's crazy. 14 drives in four games where the Colts have either turned the ball over or had a, turned it over on fourth down.
Yeah.
The Colts defense on those drives has allowed 48 points on 14 drives because, short field, that the other team's offense is coming with momentum. They're going to have a chance to score. On the other 30 drives that the Colts defense has faced this year, they've only allowed 37 points. The Colts defense has been fine. They're just getting constantly pushed against the wall by this offense. And they're not, you know, this defense, obviously you want them to step up after the offense has a turnover, but the offense has turned the ball over so much that the defense is just constantly going out there with their backs against the wall, and it's just killing the entire team. So, I mean, look, if we're looking for things to blame here, the Colts defense is fine. Like, yeah, they could have looked better in the first half. The run game could look better, but this Colts offense is an abject disaster. Even when they are moving the ball, they're not finishing off drives. They're turning the ball over. They're looking bad in the red zone. I don't know. I think this Colts team right now looks like they're on their way to being one of the worst teams in football.
Which is, it's so frustrating because it's hard for me to get on board with saying they're a bad team. But at some point, like, if they keep showing you who they are, like, they're making the same mistakes over and over. Like, it's a broken record at this point. Slow start, turnovers. Defensively, like you said, I agree. I think they're fine. I was talking with people after the game. I think it's a winnable defense. And like you said, exactly. it's always gonna look worse if their backs are constantly against the wall. But, man, I mean, what else can we say? Like, Matt Ryan didn't really have an answer for the ball security thing afterward, which, I mean, how could you? Because he's fumbled now 9 times and has lost about half of them to this point.
And 5 picks so far, too, right? This is like 14 potential. Like, not all of those have been turnovers because some of the fumbles they've regained them. Yeah. But, like, that's 9 fumbles and 5 picks in 4 games. Like,
it's a lot. That's crazy.
Like, the Colts basically traded for like a non-mobile Daniel Jones at this point. Now, again, I'm not saying that's a one-to-one comparison. Like, Matt Ryan's moving the ball better. He obviously moves the ball better than Daniel Jones, but like, these turnovers are insane. This is what I do on Madden right here, you know?
Right? Just careless.
Careless with it. So I don't know, man. This offense is a train wreck.
It really is. Like, again, we can talk about the offensive line once again today, and it wasn't even all the offensive line's fault, but like, there were, of course, issues once again. You know, if you're looking at the defense in more detail, you know, they did shut the Titans out in the second half points-wise. But like you mentioned, Tennessee's a really bad second half team to begin with. And they did all their work in the first half. They didn't have to do anything in the second half. Right. They created an insurmountable lead, I guess. But
yeah,
it's – I mean – again, to show you how much turnovers matter, like, the Colts outpaced Tennessee by over 100 yards of offense again. Like, they just couldn't do it. They had absolutely no run game today, which means you can't really sustain drives. You can't hold on to the ball very long. Like, what you see is what you get. You know, what you're able to get out of the passing game is about it. So
every rushing attempt in this game by the Colts was a wasted down. Like, like, outside, I think Taylor had an 11-yard run in the second quarter, like, late second quarter. Besides that, every single time the Colts called a run play, they were hurting their own offense. And I'm not even saying the passing game was helping it, because the passing game, again, had the 2 turnovers. But, like, gosh, man, every single time they even lined up for a run. And honestly, like, I don't think the O-line was that bad today. Like, I'm not going to let the O-line off the hook. Like, the O-line was not good today. But like, they were playing against Jeffrey Simmons, Bud Dupree for the first quarter at least. Rashad Weaver is a good player. These linebackers were keying the runs, obviously. So I think the O-line was like – it was probably their second best game of the year, their best game of the year maybe for the O-line, which was still not great. It was just the running backs were not seeing holes. I mean, Jonathan Taylor's a huge part of that. Jonathan Taylor was struggling a lot. Matt Ryan just could not stop turning the ball over. And then when the O-line did give up, like, pressures and stuff like that, they came at very costly times. I mean, Quentin Nelson gave up 2 sacks on third down in this game. One ended up being that huge fumble that turned into a touchdown for the Titans. So, this offense just cannot get out of its own way. And it's not the young players. It's not the young players at all. Like, right. Will Fries came in today. I thought he was okay. Like, perfectly adequate. An upgrade over Danny Pinter. Alec Pierce built off his last week and looked even better this week. Jelani Woods looked really good. Kylan Granson had a career best day. Like, you are seeing these young players stepping up, but it's just all the veteran players that are just like the veterans on the offensive line, Matt Ryan, Jonathan Taylor, like, they all just did not come to play today, and the Colts got punched in the mouth for it.
That is wild. Like, when of all the head scratching or like table pounding things that have happened this season, very few of them have been from like rookies or young guys where you're like, they're going to do that. It's been the guys you count on. I think that's why it's so upsetting. The Colts, of course, earned no prizes with today's performance, but that doesn't mean that you guys have to miss out on the winnings. If you haven't yet gotten into Prize Picks, you could have gone on and placed your odds on Matt Ryan exceeding expectations statistically and hitting 350-plus yards, or Jonathan Taylor inexplicably having 42 yards against one of the NFL's worst run defenses. I think we can all agree that we're different optimistic people before game time actually starts, and taking advantage of that with Prize Picks is fast and easy. And if I want some last-minute picks on my phone, I can just hop on over to the Prize Picks app. What you do is you pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their projections, you can win up to 10 times your money on any of those entries. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch. That includes NFL, MLB, college football, and even cricket, which I'm kind of intrigued by doing. Just throwing darts at the wall, basically. Yeah. You might even be able to do darts. I don't know. Yeah. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Withdrawing your earnings is also safe and fast, and Prize Picks is currently operational in over 30 states plus Canada. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter the promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. And thank you guys again for making Locked On Colts your first listen every day. Make sure you check out the NFL Key Predictions every Friday on Locked On NFL. Locked On's local experts give you the inside scoop on the 5 biggest games of the NFL weekend, including Sunday and Monday Night Football. Plus, you get the betting advice from the field's leading experts, BetOnline. Follow NFL Key Predictions every Friday on Locked On NFL, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. All right, Zach. So once again, the offense is what does the Colts in, probably causes this loss. You know, the defense does enough. They did get cut right through in the first half. Like whatever Tennessee wanted to do, they were able to. But they completely shut them down in the second half. Like I said, you know, Tennessee did almost nothing in the second half. But that offense just, you know, keeps stepping on their own foot and getting in the way. I mean, at this point, there's still just so much wrong with them, like offensive line, and that leads into the run game. And even though I don't think the offensive line was as bad as it has been, it's now starting to look like Jonathan Taylor doesn't know how to run with this specific group in front of him. Yeah, it's very reminiscent of when he was a rookie. It looks like he's thinking too much, and we've seen what it's like when he plays instinctively and is just using his natural abilities. He's the best running back in the league. But right now it looks like he's having to think and look around too much.
Yeah. And it's just two compounding issues. Like, yes, Jonathan Taylor is not playing well right now. And he's thinking too much instead of reacting or going forward. You know, he's very hesitant, kind of tiptoeing through holes, but this offensive line is also not getting the necessary push they need on these duo runs. You know, they're not displacing interior defensive linemen. They're not creating space for him to do what he does best, which is get to that second level and then go. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's not just the offensive line. Like you said, Jonathan Taylor, as a result, has not played well. I think there were a couple opportunities today where, you know, it was a 1 or 2 yard gain that could have been 4, 5, or 6. But he was just too hesitant in the hole. He was kind of dancing in the hole. He wasn't really reacting to what was in front of him. So, this Colts offensive line and this Colts just run game has been awful since week one. I think yards per carry wise, Jonathan Taylor for his career is over 5 yards per carry. But this year, if you take out that week one performance against the Texans, you're probably looking at what, like a 2 point something guy or a low threes guy right now. Mm-hmm. It's just been really bad all across the board there in the run game. And I do think this is where, you know, losing guys like Zach Pascal and Jack Doyle do kind of play a factor, because even if the offensive line were struggling, Jack Doyle was so consistent there at tight end. And Zach Pascal was such a great run blocker, where these guys that are replacing them, Mo'Ali Cox, Kylan Granson got beat a couple times in the run game today. Ashton Doolin, Michael Pittman Jr., they're just not Zach Pascal's caliber run blocker. So I'm not even saying it was like the wrong decision to let Pascal go, or, you know, Jack Doyle's retirement, they can't do anything about, but there really wasn't someone brought in to replace that exact role, and the Colts are really kind of hurting there. So it's kind of just a compounding thing of, you know, they're missing two impact players off the edge. They're missing impact players in the run game on the offensive line, and Jonathan Taylor is just not running like Jonathan Taylor right now. So like everything with the Colts offense, it's a disaster across the board.
It's all bad.
It's all bad, except for the young guys. I mean, the young guys, I think, are fine.
That's Speaking of which, shout out to you. I mean, you've been pounding the Will Fries drum since the summer, you know, saying that Danny Penner shouldn't just be handed the job, that Will Fries should be a candidate. And today the Colts finally made that move. Will Fries, don't know if they're going to stick with it or not. I would hope so. But Will Fries appears to be the new starting right guard. And he did pretty well. Like, of all the issues I saw, they weren't really coming from him.
Right. You know, I don't want to come on here and sing his praises, because there were a couple times that he got beat. There were a couple ones where I think he probably could have got called for like a holding, but wasn't. But for the most part, it was better than what we saw last week. I mean, last week, Danny Pinter was getting steamrolled by Chris Jones, and he looked like just a terrible starter out there, where Will Fries, I think, looked more like an adequate start. Like, he looked fine. Like, he looked like how an average starting guard would look against Jeffrey Simmons. That's the way that I took it today. So I think Will Fries should be the guy going forward. I think you saw we saw a lot more improvements in the passing game. I mean, the Colts were coming out and they were having to throw the ball a lot in this game. And Will Fries held up pretty well against, again, one of the, I mean, it's Aaron Donald at defensive tackle one, but Jeffrey Simmons is like, the next closest guy is Jeffrey Simmons. So for Will Fries to only get up a couple pressures, not really many sacks or anything like that, honestly, the bigger issue was Nico Autry against Quentin Nelson today. Danico Autry was beating Quentin Nelson left and right. And Will Fries was been, you know, he was okay against Jeffrey Simmons. So, yeah, I think Will Fries had a very good debut. And hopefully we see more of him at right guard going forward, because I do think this is the better move for the Colts.
Yeah. One of the things that sucks the most about the Colts playing the Titans is, so I've been watching Quentin Nelson in practice since he was a rookie. The guy he's had the most trouble with as a teammate in practice that whole time was Danico Autry when he was here. And then and professionally in gameplay, Jeffrey Simmons is probably the guy that he routinely faces that he's had the most trouble with. So Tennessee offers two guys who can beat Quentin Nelson. And a lot of teams don't really have one that can do it with any regularity. So Tennessee's an awful matchup for the Colts offensive line.
Yeah, and it's actually fascinating too, because Quentin Nelson, he wins with just relying on his athleticism and relying on so much power in his punch. But Danico Autry probably has the strongest hands among any pass rusher in football. So, I mean, the second Quentin Nelson gets out there to use his strong hands, Danico Autry, it has just clubs on there that he's able to get by. It was a good matchup. I do think Quentin Nelson won a good bit of them, but the ones that he lost were huge, impactful ones. So ultimately, at the end of the day, as an offensive lineman, you can't lose those ones. And, you know, when you're getting paid $20 million a year, you can't get beat, you know, a couple big ones like that by Danico Autry. So, yeah, just a bad day for Quentin Nelson at the end of the day.
Yeah, not great, not great. But some guys who did have really good days, I thought the pass catching group did really well, especially the tight
ends. They've been good this year. They've been good.
They've got to be a bigger part of the game plan regularly.
The Titans came into this game with bracketing Michael Pittman Jr. That's why we barely saw him today. I mean, they had Fulton following him around the field, and then they had Kevin Byard kind of over the top on him for a lot of this game. And as a result, Alec Pierce looked really good. Jelani Woods looked really good. Mo Alley Cox had a huge day. Kylan Granson had a career best day. Like, these other pass catchers, I mean, Paris Campbell and Ashton Doolin made a couple of big catches too. Like, these pass catchers this year have been like the least of my concerns on offense.
Right. And that was what everyone said was going to be their downfall.
Right. I even saw today after the game, people were saying like, oh, sign a veteran receiver. I'm like, why? What about this game said the veteran receiver would save everything? Yes. Convince Emmanuel Sanders to come out of retirement and he'll fix the Matt Ryan's fumbling and Quentin Nelson getting beat by Danico Autry. Like, the pass catchers are a major plus right now through the quarter mark of the season. Everything else on this offense is not a major plus right now.
Yeah, and he's needed this. This was a vintage Mo Alley Cox performance. Yes. We've seen it the last few years. There's one or two games per year when Jack Doyle would be hurt or something where Cox was featured, and you're like, oh, wow, why doesn't this happen more often? He pops off for 6 catches, 85 yards, and 2 touchdowns this week. Kylan Granson had a great day. You know, it's funny, Kylan Granson had issues with ball security in hands. That guy makes, other than maybe Ashton Doolin and Alec Pierce, he probably makes the most difficult catches on the offense. Like,
right.
He's been really good, and them using him on drags and allowing him to get yards after the catch has been huge. A week after getting his first two touchdowns of his career, Jelani Woods has a terrific 33-yard catch, just steamrolling ahead. He was just a little bit of balance away from scoring on that too. Right. The Colts have some dangerous tight ends, man. Like, they've got to be a bigger part of this game plan. I have to.
Yep. But hey, guys, the Colts offense is just not built to win in the NFL. But you know what is built to win? Built Bar. If you haven't tried Built Bar Puffs yet, you are depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. And guess what? There's a new flavor featuring delicious, indulgent cookie dough covered in chocolate. That's right. Built has done it again. Let me introduce you to your new favorite, cookie dough chunk puffs with a light and chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks, and of course, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. It's all the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it. Plus, it's healthy for you. Cookie dough chunk puffs is only 160 calories and they have a whopping 15 grams of protein in them. Run to built.com and snag a box for you and the family. It will be the perfect treat, or you can find a really good hiding place and just hoard them for yourself. You're going to love the new cookie dough chunk puff. Whether you need a snack for your workout, a late night treat, or just need a quick bite, Built is the perfect protein bar, and they taste better than a candy bar. Ditch the calories, the fat, and the sugar. Grab yourself a Built Bar. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKEDON15, and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKEDON15.
They've been saving me again lately. I got a new shipment of Built Bars, and once again, they have replaced pretty much all my meals.
I was laughing there because my wife texted me and she was like, oh, I just need you to get me some of those Built Bars. That's verbatim exactly what she said. 100%. Nice. But let's get to this defense here, Jake, who I feel like I have to keep going to bat for this defense sort of because, yeah, like, it's a very similar yet a very different defense to what we've seen in years past. You know, where Matt Eberflus was so frustrating because his defense couldn't get off the field in the second half of games and they were struggling a lot, but they forced so many turnovers that they were just game changers. Where this Gus Bradley defense just doesn't force as many turnovers, and a lot of that's because Shaquille Leonard hasn't played, DeForest Buckner's been hurt, Julian Blackman's been hurt. But I feel like they're consistently keeping the Colts in these games. Again, they could be better off of the Colts turnovers. You know, the Colts offensive turns, they could be better at, you know, surviving the short field. But, I mean, we've seen the last 2 weeks and week one against the Texans as well, the Colts have had chances to come back in those games because of the defense. The defense has really stepped up in the second half of these games. The pass rush has looked good. I think the coverage has been pretty fine. The guys are making tackles. Like, I don't have many issues with the defense right now. And I think anyone putting blame at Gus Bradley's feet for this loss at all, I think that's just wrong. I think Gus Bradley has been perfectly fine for the Colts this year.
Oh, yeah. Of all the moments that I've wanted to pound the table watching this team, it's rarely been because of the defense.
Right.
They have their moments where the opponent just seems to have the perfect recipe, but that's going to happen. It's an offensive game. Defenses are always have their backs against the wall for the most part. But shoot, I mean, I think my only gripe really is, I mean, I think the pressure was good again today. They just need to finish more.
Yeah. Which, do you blame a defensive coordinator for that? Like,
no, exactly. It's the player. Like, Ngakoue almost got Tannehill, but he was going for the swipe rather than taking him down, which is fine. I have no problem with that. Honestly, he's trying to make a play. Right. I thought Buckner was getting after it a bit. Kwity Paye obviously got a sack.
Looked good. Yeah.
Dio
got a sack.
Dio's starting to turn it up a little bit.
Dio needs more playing time. He needs more playing time. That's, you know what, Gus Bradley? Never mind. I'm out on you. You need to get we need more Dio. Dio, I think, I swear, he probably had like 10 to 15 snaps today, and he had a sack and a tackle for a loss. He looked good. I'm perfectly fine with Buckner not playing Thursday and just giving Dio a full game of snaps because I just want to see more, especially if the season's going to be a disaster anyway. Give me more Dio. I need to see more Dio. But, yeah, I thought some of the young players on defense looked good today.
Mm-hmm. And so something interesting they did do early in the game was, so Shaquille Leonard was out there with Zaire Franklin, and it was EJ Speed. Basically, the best linebacker so far this year has been Bobby Okereke, and he was not out there to start the game. Like, it's something strategic, I'm sure, based on the matchup with Tennessee. But I didn't love it. It seemed odd. I mean, he eventually got out there, but it's like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I think it was about – I think the issue was probably about having your two, like – because Zaire Franklin and EJ Speed are extremely fast, physical linebackers, I guess. And I guess it was basically Okereke was playing the position that Leonard was going to play. So it was kind of tough to make that adjustment there. But, yeah, I'm with you. Like, at the end of the day, you got to get your better players out there. And honestly, Bobby Okereke was probably more suited for this game than Shaquille Leonard was. And we saw on that first drive, I mean, Shaquille Leonard looked out of place. And then the touchdown reception for Robert Woods was because Shaquille Leonard did not robot back to the crosser and didn't help out his safety over the top. And that's what happens when you miss all offseason and when you have a new scheme coming in, a scheme that's going to ask you to do drastically different things than you did in the past one. So, you know, wide open touchdown because they inserted Shaquille Leonard in there. And I'm not saying that's not bound to happen with you know, getting Leonard back out there, and you can't bench Leonard, but I would have liked to have had Bobby Okereke out there maybe in that spot or, you know, in there for Franklin or Speed. And I think maybe that touchdown doesn't happen, but yeah, that was a weird one. Some of the rotation things have been a little weird this year, I'm not going to lie. But again, I do stand by my thing that I do think this defense has played fairly well. And I don't have many issues with the defense right now.
You mentioned getting your good players on the field. We did see Isaiah Rodgers get out there naturally, not because of injury, which was good. And we'll talk more about this on the next show with Nyheim Hines and being a good player and not being on the field. But we're already past the offense. That's for a later show.
That is. But no, defense-wise, something I think I see it here. You have it written out a little bit, but the run game, for instance, was an issue today. Derrick Henry. Henry looked like Derrick Henry today. Yeah. Looked really good. And I know some people are going to be like, oh, what happened to this Colts defensive line in the run game? I don't really think it was much of the defensive line. You know, I kind of said going into this matchup that the Titans this year have been doing a lot of stretch runs, a lot of vertical, like a lot of outside runs and stuff like that. A lot of misdirection as well. So I had to watch the film, but I think a lot of it was the linebackers just not filling their gaps. You know, some of it was, again, Shaquille Leonard first game back. It's going to be tough to kind of pick up that speed against a really, really good run team in the Titans. But yeah, I didn't think the defensive line played too poorly. I do think the downgrade from DeForest Buckner to Byron Cowart is very noticeable in the run game. But I think Grover played well. I think Quiddy looked fine in run defense. Some of the linebackers made some plays, but at the end of the day, it's a tough, tough team to defend the run against. And holding Henry for, what was it, like 22 carries for like 105 yards or something. Like, yeah, you'd want to be a little bit better, but like, I don't think that's losing football. Like, yes, they got gashed a little too much in the first half. Like, I'm not going to defend that. But, like, I don't know. I don't think it was too awful. Again, the defense really, really reined it in there in the second half, and they looked good.
Yeah, you expect that. Like, when you're facing Derrick Henry, you almost give him the 100. You spot him the 100 yards because you know it's going to happen. And you say, how are we going to win outside of that? So they've won in those scenarios before. I'm not worried about it. I did want to give shout out to two smaller DBs who, you know, this Colts defense, they embrace facing a huge, enormous cheat code like Derrick Henry. Rodney McLeod and Isaiah Rodgers being two kind of smaller guys, especially Rodgers. Man, he made a hard tackle for loss against Derrick Henry. It had to be counted as a solo tackle. And Rodney McLeod came in and gave him a big hit on a drop. And man, it's good to see that attitude from guys, because like Brandon Faison earlier in the game probably made a business decision when he got skirted by Derrick Henry on that touchdown run. That wasn't a great one.
No, that was bad. That was bad. Yeah. The only thing I will say about Gus Bradley's defense still from what I'm seeing, and this isn't me again saying that Gus Bradley's infallible, like Gus Bradley is this amazing defensive coordinator, is calling great games. But honestly, a lot of the issues I've seen this year have been just from players not performing the right assignment in coverage or something like that. Again, the Robert Woods touchdown was Leonard not getting back on his robot that he should have done off of the play action. The second touchdown was, again, the linebacker is just not feeling the space behind them. I do think overall the game plan has been good. And I think we have seen these last 2 weeks, the defense really adjust to Gus Bradley's scheme and play some good football. So I have some optimism for the defense going forward, but if the offense are going to still just kick them into a corner constantly, then I don't know how much confidence I can really have in the defense. Now, you know, we said all week going into this game, like, oh, if the Colts offensive line could just figure it out, I'm not too concerned about this entire team. Now it's like, if the Colts offense can just not be a disaster for an entire game, if they can just not be a negative asset for an entire game, I'm feeling pretty good. But I just don't, I mean, we're 4 weeks in and the offense has been a negative asset in all four games.
Yeah. Small ask, right? Just don't be a disaster.
Right.
Well, that's all I've got. The Colts will be back at it already on Thursday. So for our next show, you know, we'll lay this one to rest a little bit, and then we've already got to turn the page because the Colts are on Thursday Night Football, primetime Denver Broncos on the road. And you know what? Just like with last week when they beat the Chiefs, this is a weird game that they tend to win. As bad as they look sometimes, I will not be surprised if the Colts go in to Mile High or whatever weird thing it's called now and beat the Broncos. So.
Beautiful 8-8-1 season coming for the Colts. And we're going to be here with you guys through it all, through all 8 wins, 8 losses, yeah, and the 1 tie. So I hope you guys are ready for it. Follow us on social media at Jake Arthur NFL, at Zach Hicks 2, and at Locked On Colts on Twitter. Also subscribe to the shows on YouTube and wherever you listen to your podcast. And thanks again for making Locked On Colts your first listen every day. Now make your second listen to Peacock and Williamson NFL Show. Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson give you the expert NFL analysis in less than 30 minutes. It's free and available wherever you get your podcast. We'll see you guys Monday.
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Tuesday. Yeah. Monday. Tuesday. See you guys on Tuesday. Yeah.